people. And in just a moment, we're going to have the special before the preaching. And whoever is doing the special tonight, they can head up there. Brother Todd is doing the special. No, he's not doing the special. So, ladies, revival is about to break out, Brother Todd. I'm telling you what. Amen. As the ladies are getting in place, just to say a word about Brother Bragg. Of course, he's no stranger to us. It's a blessing having Brother Bragg a part of our church. And when I was growing up, I had the privilege of hearing many pastors preach each year at my home church at the football camp. And Brother Bragg preached many times when I was a teenager at football camp. And I appreciate Brother Bragg having a tender heart towards the Lord and a tender heart towards people. And he has always had that tender heart towards God and tender heart towards people. And the message this morning was a big encouragement, a big help to all of us. And Brother Bragg, we're excited that you're our preacher tonight. And we're looking forward to hearing you preach after these ladies sing.
In heaven above, watching as we run this race, they cheer us on in love. There are faces we have seen before and more we've never known. They fought the battle, took the stand, we reap what they have sown. So I'm not ashamed to claim the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed to tell the world he's mine. Gladly I'll proclaim this gospel to all people. I am not ashamed, I will claim his name.
Now I take my stand in Jesus and serve the Lord today. I give my strength and purpose, I sing and work and pray, and though all the world may mock me, or walk uncaring by, I'll stay with Christ my Savior, his name I'll not deny.
So I'm not ashamed to claim the name of Jesus, I am not ashamed. Tell the world he's mine. Gladly I'll proclaim this gospel to all people. I am not ashamed, I will claim his name. So I'm not ashamed to claim the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed to tell the world he's mine. To all people, I am not ashamed, I will claim his name.
I am not ashamed,
I am not ashamed,
I will claim his name. Thank
you, ladies. Thank you very much. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Thank you again for the special. Stringed instruments from Scripture. Stringed instruments. I love it. I do. That's one of the toughest instruments to play. But they did a great job. And then the ladies, what a good song. I appreciate it. Appreciate the good music here at this church. Got a call from a preacher this week, and he said, I was in a visiting a church. He said, man, the music was bad. He said, the preaching was even worse. He said, then I heard a special from Faith Baptist Church. And he said, Brother Bragg, you don't know what that did for me. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's good. Great music. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I deeply appreciate the invitation from Pastor Angel to fill the pulpit in his absence. I wish he were here. Brother Shaver, I wish he was here. I wish he were here. Brother Shaver and I go a long way back. His daddy and I were good friends. And Mike and Sandy were a blessing to Debbie and I when we were back in Milford. And I've known him for a long time. What a testimony you are to many people, my dear brother. And so pray for him. Keep him in your prayers, if you would. And so, good to see you. We need to pray for Brother Steve Rao in the church where in Pekin, Illinois, and trusting the Lord will bless the mission conference as Pastor finishes up tonight. That church has a special place in my heart, Brother Rao's church there in Pekin. Brother Alex and I visited there a few years ago. Brother Alex, being a Soviet Jew, and then went to Israel, people would ask him, come up, do you eat pork? He said, oh, brother, I am saved and born again, and there's nothing unclean now, and I can eat pork. Brother Riles, the property is long and a deep property. And so, if I remember right, the guy said to him, well, we're raising a pig right now in the back, and we're going to butcher him. And he says, oh, can I see the pig? I want to see the pig. So after service, we drove back the lane, and I thought he was going to crawl in the pen with the pig. I mean, he just wanted to see that pig. He just said, what's his name? And said, well, we call him Pork Chop. And from that point on, for the rest of the trip, he said, I just wonder if Pork Chop is on the plate yet. So Brother Rao's church has I have a fond memory of that church. I praise the Lord. We believe the Lord is working this morning's message since the Sunday school lesson was on John chapter 4. And then the message was on John chapter 4. We praise the Lord for the Wednesday night services. Brother Miller's been teaching on soul winning. We saw Jesus did the ready, set, go in Samaria. Then he pointed the woman to the, or excuse me, he did the pivot, finding the common ground, and talked about pointing the woman to the spiritual life. And then with the Spirit of God's help, I believe she repented, or she received Christ as her Savior. Told so many other people about it. Don't miss this Wednesday night. We find out who's going to get saved this Wednesday night. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. We really enjoyed the Valentine's banquet, or the fellowship that we had. I really enjoyed that. We did. The night before that Valentine's fellowship, I spoke at a Valentine's meal over in, DeMott, Indiana. And they had a different game. They had one of those guessing games where you guess the name. It's a charades or something like that. I don't know what they call it. But you have the leader has a piece of paper with a name on it, and he says words that you have to guess. I don't know what that's called. But anyway, the fella that was the leader of our team was doing real well, and we won the game. But he said the name, the word that he was trying to give us was the word bud, B-U-D, like a tree bud or a fig, a twig bud or Aaron's rod that budded. I mean, he could have given us a lot of, but he said this. He said, what goes before the popular adult drink, something wiser? And like an idiot, I hollered out, Budweiser. I was the only one that guessed that answer. I'm the guest preacher. I come up with Budweiser. I told him, I said, 33 years in St. Louis. That's the problem, I guess. I said, I want to know how you knew that. They said he was a PA man and he had to do something to keep himself awake. So anyway, embarrassing. If you were here this morning, you heard the two disclaimers. If you're visiting, I didn't see any visitors, but if you are, please come back and hear Pastor Angel. Tremendous pastor. We're very, very fortunate to hear classic messages. The message he preached just recently on original intent. And what a message. What a message. Original intent. My wife and I had been eating, went to eat at a restaurant, and this fella came up and he says, my fiance and I are going to be moving. He and I are da 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 da. And I, okay. I know how to answer him now. That fella's not even his fiance. That's just nothing but sins, all that is. Anyway, tremendous message. If you're visiting, come back and hear preacher. If you're a member, don't use my words against Pastor Angel. Don't do that. If he has counseled you to do something and I mistakenly say something opposite, he is right and I am wrong. I'm just visiting. Now, I'm a member here, but I don't come very often. This week and this month and next, this month and next month's a long stretch for us, about 6 weeks of traveling. And I work 50 hours a week and then travel on the weekends. But I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm as excited as I could be about it. I'm just glad to be here. I really am. If you found 1 Peter chapter 4 by now, would you stand, please? I want to preach a message tonight. It's a tough message. The title of the message is longer than the message almost itself, but here's the message. Here's the title. How to prepare for the coming persecution on the churches in America. How to prepare for the coming persecutions on the churches in America. Let's start in verse number 12 for time's sake. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody of other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. How to prepare for the coming persecution on churches in America. Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of your word. I thank you for it. Be with preacher, Brother Rao, and the church there. And I pray that the Spirit of God would bless them and, Lord, use them. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight to be a help and encouragement. Lord, the title is so discouraging, and the things in this world are discouraging. But we know that you are a great God, and we know that you are our Savior. And, Lord, we pray that Jesus would come quickly. But if he doesn't, help us to prepare. Lord, you want your people to be prepared. Help me to do that tonight. Be an encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, let me give you the quick interpretation of this passage. Then a brief story about my friendship with a former Soviet Jewish man. You all know Brother Alex. And then the message. The Apostle Peter is writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. You read that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's not writing to a particular church, but he's writing to people that have been scattered. Some Jewish, and some Jewish believers, some Gentiles. He's speaking, I think, to both. Peter was the apostle to the Jews, if you remember right. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, if I were God, I would have switched that. I would have sent the educated man to the Jewish people and the uneducated man to us Gentiles. But God doesn't do things that way. He sent Peter, James, and John to the Jewish people, and he sent Paul to us Gentiles. And by the way, thank God for the Apostle Paul. I thank God for him. The Apostle Peter, he's writing to these people scattered abroad, these believers scattered abroad, and they've been scattered because of persecution. Persecution in Jerusalem, persecution all over. And so that part of the country we now know as Turkey. There, of course, many churches were started there, and the Apostle Paul started many churches in that area. Peter's writing both to Jewish believers and Gentiles, and he's instructing them how to handle the persecution that has already taken place at the house of God. Now, let's look at chapter 4 and verse number 17 quickly. For the time has come and the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Many times we've heard maybe that The judgment must begin in the house of God. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Let's read the Bible carefully and correctly. Judgment must begin at the house of God. They're coming at us. They're coming at us. That's the interpretation of that scripture. And many of the churches at that time had already been persecuted. That's why they're scattered. In the early 1970s, there was a Baptist preacher named Estes Perkle. I don't know if he's independent, Southern Baptist, I don't know. He's a Baptist preacher from Mississippi. He was somewhat ahead of his times. He produced two or three films, Christian films. One of the films was, "If the Footmen Tire You, What Will the Horsemen Do?" I don't know if any of you remember that. But it was about the persecution that came upon the Christians in Russia and how they persecuted the Christians there in, at that time, the Soviet Union. It was a very graphic film. And I remember our pastor showed it. I was just a teenager. Nowadays, I'm not sure if I were pastoring, I'd even show it to a mixed group. I mean, it was graphic about people being persecuted and what they did to those people. But it really kind of woke us up a little bit. And by the way, that phrase, "If the footman tire you, what will the horseman do?" comes from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. The second film that he made was 1974. And I can't remember who the fellow was that helped him make it. But in 1974, the title of it was The Burning Hell. And we showed that film in our county fair many times, had a lot of people saved. And it seemed as if God gave us a second chance. In the 70s, many people my age got saved. I think Preacher got saved in the 70s. I got saved in 71. Many of my preacher friends are my age. And it seemed as if we were awakened to something that could happen to us. 1980, we had Ronald Reagan as our president. And Mr. Reagan started turning some things around that Mr. Carter had changed. And it seems as if, looking back now, that God gave us another 20, 25 years of freedom, liberty, preaching the gospel. In fact, Brother Alex says that when he went to Israel, he went on the Reagan plan. 1984, I think it was, Reagan said to, I don't know, it was Gorbachev or who it was at that time, said, "You want to buy wheat from us? You must let 10,000 Jews go back to Israel." Because the Soviet people were holding the Jewish people hostage and wouldn't let them go back to Israel. And Israel loved Ronald Reagan because he said, "You must let the Jews go back. You must let 10,000. During 84 up to 2000, almost 250,000 Soviet Jews went back to Israel. One out of every five people in Israel today speak Russian. That was an important part. You say, it's no big deal what Mr. Biden's doing. It is a big deal. February of 2007, I went to Israel for the first time, and I thought that it was going to be a one-and-done trip. That's it. Little did I know that in December of that year, I met by the providential hand of God a man by the name of Brother Alex, a Soviet Jew who was born and raised in Odessa, Ukraine. Odessa's in the news. He was saved at a Billy Graham crusade in Moscow, but discipled by an independent Baptist preacher in the outskirts of Tel Aviv, Israel, where he had moved in 1998. That fellow that discipled him was a member of First Baptist Church of Milford, Ohio, where I was a member at that time. I'm sorry, where I had been a member some years before. His wife was a student of mine when I was a principal in the Christian school. Alex and I had a connection immediately. I said, "Alex, how'd you get saved?" "Oh, I went to, Pastor, I went to Moscow. I heard Billy Graham." I said, "How'd you get to be a Baptist?" He said, "Oh, there's a fellow by the name of Joshua Blair." I said, "Joshua Blair from Milford, Ohio?" He said, "His wife's name is Marcia. She was a student in the school when I was a principal." Immediate connection. In 2011, he joined our church in St. Louis, and we started traveling the United States. He'd come twice a year, and we traveled for 7-8 years. Most of the time it was 2 months in the spring, 2 months in the fall. My church let me travel with him. We were raising money. He could play almost any instrument. He could speak several languages, but he could not drive a car. He failed his driving test in Israel 5 times. And the instructor finally says, "You just need to take the bus, man. You just can't make it." He's a very interesting man. In 2016, he said, Pastor Bragg, we need to go help the Ukrainian Jews to get back to Israel. Russia is going to invade and attack them. We need to help them. So in 2017, we made two trips to Ukraine. 2018, we made two more trips. In those years, more than 7,000 Jews went back to Israel. Today, that looks like a very important trip or trips that we made. Now, it wasn't all because of us. There were other people us helping, obviously. But God is interested in protecting his people. The regathering of Israel is certainly a part of prophecy. That's the background of the message and, or the passage and a little bit about Brother Alex. Now let's look at the message here. The Apostle Peter is telling these people, prepare yourself. It could happen to you. Look at verse number 12. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter said, look, you must change the way you're thinking. For years we have said this. Oh, it's going to happen someday, but not in my lifetime. Can I tell you, folks, it's happening in our lifetime. Don't think it couldn't happen to us. Don't think that way. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials of your faith. We are seeing the Antichrist plan unfold before our eyes. I always wondered how they were going to pull this thing together for the world. I know there's going to be a world economy coming someday, and that's why they're trying to destroy the dollar and every other currency. What was going to happen? This vaccine mandate is nothing more than a precursor to the worldwide tracking system. Now, I'm not saying that if you have the vaccine, you have the mark of the beast. Don't say I said that because I didn't. I said it's a precursor. If they can figure out how to control people and track people, and they can control this world. It's nothing more than a plan that's well organized and ready to go. Don't think it can't happen here. You know, we all know this. The United States is not in prophecy. You don't see us there. I would like to think that we have a lot of people saved and we just leave during the rapture. Jesus comes and we're gone and let Mexico and Canada take over. Who cares? Number one, change your thinking. It can happen here. Number two, let's look at verses 13 and 14. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye are be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Can I tell you, here's number two. Don't lose your joy and happiness. The preacher's been preaching on this. Remember when the pandemic first happened, he was talking about joy. Everybody's down and discouraged. He's talking about being lifted up, and he was trying to encourage us to be joyful. Don't lose your joy. It's the same message Peter's preaching. Hey, don't lose your joy. Rejoice. Aren't you glad you're saved? I mean, the worst day that you ever have on this life doesn't even compare to what hell will be. I'm telling you, we're on our way to heaven. We're going to be out of here soon. Hallelujah. He's coming. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith. That's what it's all about. He's trying our faith, worketh patience. Verse 12 tells us that the trial of your faith, some strange thing happened. Our faith is going to be tried. And by the way, who do we think we are that we can get out of this like those who have gone before us, as the ladies just sang about a moment ago? We're reaping what they sowed. They sowed suffering and martyrdom, and yet we're reaping blessings. It may happen to us. Acts chapter 26, verse 2, I think myself, Paul said this when he was talking to Agrippa. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. He said, I'm happy. I'm happy. You know, I was a young preacher. I used to listen to some of the psychobabble from the Christian psychologists. And I heard one say this one time, and I repeated it. and then was rebuked by another preacher because of the scriptures. And this psychobabbler said this, said, now we need to have joy. But happiness, that just comes and goes. That's not really necessary for a Christian. And then a guy preached on this verse. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, what's the next word, class? Happy. I'm happy. Are you happy tonight? Aren't you happy you're saved? Aren't you, I mean, don't you just have joy that you know that you're born again? I'm telling you, in just this past December, I was sitting in that pew, and I heard my son Michael preach on a Wednesday night. A few nights later, I heard my son David preach. I just started crying. Grandchildren all in church. Daughter and son-in-law, excuse me. Jake, you're my son. No, that's right. They're in church. I thought to myself, I could die right now and be the happiest man in the world. What a joy. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to be in this church. What a blessing. By the way, I'll say this. What a blessing to be an American. People are still trying to get to this country because we have been, over the years, the most blessed country in the world. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I read a study not long ago that said that, and it was about the mental health of the United States during this lockdown. Can you believe it? They were concerned about our mental health, locking us down and keeping us inside all the time. And so they did a little study on it. The study didn't make the light of day because here's how the study, here's the results of the study. The study showed that the largest group of people who have the strongest mental and best mental, strongest mentality and best mental health are those who continued to regularly attend church services. Surprise, surprise. Why? Because we're happy people. We're happy people. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. I work a secular job, and you all understand this. And by the way, I thank God for each and every one of you laymen here. To me, there's really, you're a full-time Christian all the time. And so, but you know how it is. You get to work, and everybody complains about their job. Complains about the boss. I had to work yesterday. Second time in 10 years that place has ever worked on a Saturday. Everybody was complaining. In fact, the boss got so tired of everybody complaining that she let us go at 3 o'clock instead of making us work till 4. I was talking to her later, and I said, you know, I apologize for complaining. I said, I thank God I have a job. I thank God I have the health to work. I know they look at me real strange. How could you be so happy? Because I'm saved. It's Trevor. Trent, okay. I get you two guys mixed up. I'm sorry. Trent and I were going soul winning right after I got here, and he asked me a very strange question. He said, Brother Bragg, what's it like being a layman after being a pastor for so many years? And I've thought about that question many, many times. And I think I answered it this way. I said, you know, there's not a whole lot of different that I do. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I attend church regularly. I tithe and give faithfully. And I go soul winning and witness. I think all of us are supposed to be doing that. Amen? But I tell you, just don't lose your joy. Number three, keep yourself from sin. Look at verse number 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. If you ever study the details of the Katrina, the horrific Katrina hurricane, and what happened down in the Superdome there in New Orleans, it was terrible, tragic. And what people were doing to each other, and it was a mess. People thought, well, the end's coming. Let's just throw any kind of care to the wind. Do whatever we want to do. Peter said, look, don't do that. When you come under persecution, when the churches are being persecuted, don't just think, well, I'm just going to go off into sin. He said, no. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Keep yourself from sin. Hey, we still need to watch out. We still need to be sanctified. We have had in the last decade or so some wicked philosophy that says we're all under grace. Doesn't matter what we do. We can just commit adultery, we can get drunk, we do whatever, and God is to forgive us because we're under grace. Can I tell you, I call that fake grace. It's not Bible grace. If there's fake news, there also can be fake grace. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hey, you've been saved from sin. Don't go back to it. I really was shocked yesterday when a man asked me, what brand of preacher are you? I said, I'm Baptist, independent Baptist. He says, I got to ask you a question. Do you drink? I've never had somebody ask that question. I said, no, absolutely not. I drink water, coffee. He said, man, that's just amazing to me. He said, I just wish I could give that stuff up. I thought, well, if you're saved, you could give it up. I mean, just don't suffer don't keep yourself from sin. Number four, don't let the world intimidate your Christianity. And Peter says this, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, that word is not used very often. In fact, it was not really a popular word, and it was not a complimentary word when it was first used in Acts. It was used in Acts to people at Antioch and said, those people are Christians. It was the world that called them Christian because they were acting like Christ. And to them, it was a derogatory term. To us, it's a compliment. And Peter says, he uses this word. He says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Oh, boy, ladies, you sang the song, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Don't let the world intimidate our Christianity. I remember as a supervisor at United Parcel Service, I worked there in the hub there at Bedford Park. Started out at Jefferson Street and then went to Bedford Park. And I was there for 5 years during college. And we had some rough managers. They didn't like us preacher boys. We did a lot of work for them and we made them a lot of money. But they didn't like us. And I remember one was just so arrogant. And he did everything he could just to get us to try to fall into sin or do something wrong. I remember I was one of the last supervisors we had. There was a wing in every huge building. And each wing had so many supervisors in it. And each wing had a manager over it. Our manager was just, this particular manager was it seemed like the devil gave him the liberty to just do whatever he wanted to do to make us sin or do something wrong. And he just loved it if we slipped up or did anything or said something. One night I was the last supervisor in that wing to go in and do my paperwork, my time cards and so forth. And I walked in and there on the wall was a bunch of pinup pictures. And I don't know what happened to me, but I just got mad. I just lost it. I slammed the door, I took my briefcase and threw it against the wall. Now, you can ask my wife, I'm a very calm person. Sometimes. Don't ask Michael or Jana. I had lost it. I thought, I'm not putting up with this. I can find another job. He's not doing that to me. And I walked out. I went back the next day and I thought, well, let's see if I've got a job. All my paperwork was sitting on the desk. He was sitting behind the desk, and he said, Ed, I apologize. That will never happen again. And I tell you, folks, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a doormat for everybody. Don't let the world intimidate your Christianity. I'm not supposed to talk about Jesus at work. But, you know, everybody else talks about their drinking and their parties and everything else. Hey, if they're talking about that, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the Lord. Don't let the world intimidate your Christianity. Number five, churches will be attacked. We read the verse For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? We heard the story about the Californian churches, Canadian churches. Amazing. It's amazing and ashamed of what they're doing up there to the Canadian churches, closing them down and so forth. Let me tell you a quick story here. And the churches in America will be and are already starting to be attacked. 2013, I was a pastor at Lafayette Bible Baptist Church. We leased our old building and moved to the present location. We leased it for 1 year, and we got a loan for that, and the lease payment paid for our mortgage. We leased it for 1 year for several reasons, but in 2014, we outright sold the old property and purchased the present location. In January of 2014, our assistant pastor and I, who was the chief financial officer, he and I were called into the St. Louis County Tax Assessment Office for a hearing on our new property. In that meeting, they were concerned that we owed property taxes on personal property, like buses, vans, and trailers and so forth. We assured them they were not being used for any personal use, and they gave us a letter saying that the personal property was tax exempt. In that meeting, they told us that your real estate is tax exempt, that your real estate is tax exempt. You do not have to worry about that. They stated in that meeting our property, our real estate property, was automatically tax exempt. Last year, July 2021, my son called me, David, and said, "Dad, do you remember going to an assessment office meeting, a tax?" I said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "The county now is saying that our church property is not tax exempt and that we owe 6 years of back taxes totaling over $120,000. He said, "In fact, they put our deed up for sale and they sold our deed." I said, "Well, they can't do that." He said, "They just did it. And they are right now in a battle for their life. They did not." He called the people that owned it. We think it's a lawyer that is a real estate lawyer that gobbles up these things, and it's somewhat common of deeds being sold out from underneath people. They said, "Well, we put this in the paper." Well, who takes the paper anymore? They said, "We sent you registered letters." Well, they sent them to the old address. They didn't send a sheriff out. They didn't, nothing. They knew where the new property was. They didn't send the letter to the new property. David called several people and asked them some advice, and they said, "Get you the best local lawyer you can get." And so they did. They've spent several thousand dollars already. They said, "You could either do that, or you can move, give up the property, or you can pay the lawyer, this straw company that was created that bought your deed. They're only asking $1.5 million for your deed now." David said, "No, I think we'll fight." And I've been praying for that guy ever since and for that church. They've gone through some preliminary hearings and, I guess, legal briefs. The county cannot produce any record of any registered letter sent. Surprise, surprise. The mayor of the town called David and said, "I'm with you. I've seen this county run people out and do this, and I'm not going to let them do it to you." They're in a fight for their life. And I'm praying that it will go to court, and a judge will have to decide whether or not they will have to move. And they can't sell their property because it's not theirs. Starting all over. Or the county will have to give back the money to the man that bought the deed. And we're praying that that happens. But please pray. I told this story to other preachers and other people, and they said, "I've heard this happening. It's not happening to just one." Can I tell you where they're going to try to hit us is in the pocketbook. Just like they're doing in Canada, where they're cutting off funds to the truck drivers, they're going to do the same thing here. It's just a pattern. So churches will be, and we pray that, I pray that doesn't happen. I pray that maybe Elon Musk will get saved. Amen. Somebody told me, Brother Sharp said this morning that Elon Musk sent one of his satellites over Ukraine because Russia was jamming Ukrainian internet and they couldn't get signals out. But Musk sent a satellite over so we can hear what's going on over there. Well, wouldn't it be something if somebody like that got saved? Can I tell you, it's going to happen. And this message is not to scare you, it's just to prepare us. I thank God for my son. I don't know where he gets it, but I'm telling you. He said, Dad, I'm not going to let this control my mind. I have the church to pastor, and I'm going to keep focused on that. And I'll worry about it when I set time aside to worry about it. I said, well, son, I'll worry for both of us. How's that? Churches will be attacked. Number six, and I'm hurrying. Number six, and this is a big one. Pray for and witness to the lost. Look what it says here in verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Peter said, in all your persecution and trials, folks, there's people dying and going to hell, and what are they going to have? The very next verse says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Hey, we need to be aware that people are dying and going to hell around us. And just because we're having trouble, we need to tell others about Christ and see them saved. I do believe that when we get to heaven, we may say this, oh, I wish I'd have told more people. I wish I'd have told more people. I wish I'd have urged more people. I wish I'd tried to tell my friends, my family, hey, there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I thought about this. The only person we should wish hell on is the devil, because that's who it was created for. Now is the time to be the soul winner. Now is the time to draw the net. Now is the time to tell them. We need to be soul winners. And if I can preach anything today, that's what I want to preach. We need to be soul winners. Jesus is the greatest of all soul winners. We need to be soul winners. Then finally, this is the last point, and that's very evident, verse 19. We need to thank God. We trust the one who created it all. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Now, I don't know why the Holy Spirit directed Peter to put the word creator there. But maybe it's because when you get persecuted and you're down and almost out, you just thank God that you know the one that created it all. He's not only our Savior, but he's our creator. He is in control. I love it. He's in control. He's in control. In Acts chapter 4, and by the way, this thought bears out through Scripture, as Scripture always does, supports itself. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, Peter and John had been beaten and said, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. And they said, hey, we can't help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. And then they were let go. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, that's the church that was there, and they that heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, is. They praised God, who was the creator of it all. He's in control, folks. He's in control. It shouldn't surprise us. We've been reading this for years. Ecclesiastes 12:1, and I may be taking this a little bit out of context, but the preacher said this. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, I know he's talking about when we get older. I know that. But it could it apply to, since we've had such a blessing over our lives for all these years, we just need to remember our Creator when it comes time to suffer. Because He is in control of it all. He is. Say, Brother Greg, what happened, Brother Ed? What happened to Brother Alex early February of 2019? He was planning to make his fifth trip back to Ukraine to help the Jews. He became so sick that he was bedridden for several days. He called me lying on his bed. Couldn't get up. He couldn't even get up. And he said that he didn't think he could go. I said, man, you need to go see the doctor. Go to the hospital. February 10th, he called again and he said, I think I'm doing better. I think I'm doing better. I think I'll be able to make it. February 14th, 3 years ago, they took him into the emergency room for surgery. Opened him up. His bowels were just infected, inflamed, exploded. They left him open because they just didn't think if they closed him up, he'd make it. He laid there for 3 days. On February 17th, he crossed over. He's in a far better place, folks. But he crossed over. And I remember him saying many times, standing from pulpits all across this country, and we traveled from Minnesota to Louisiana to Delaware to San Francisco. We were all over this country. And I remember him saying to many people, if you're going to help the Jews, you will pay a price. He said, someday I may die for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He was serious. His co-worker, when they went to talk to the doctors about his death, they said this, well, at least he wasn't poisoned. Where did poison come from? There's a group there in Israel that's anti-conversion. They had sent Brother Alex and his wife letters many times, sent packets of powder and other things in it. He just threw them away. We don't know. We'll never, God knows. In my opinion, and others who knew him well, he was martyred. Modern day martyr. He has this on his headstone, and I was going to show it tonight, show you his headstone, but I didn't get permission from his widow, and I just don't want to do that without her permission. But here's what's on his headstone. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. This message isn't to scare us. It really isn't. It's to prepare us. It's to prepare us. Hey, don't lose your joy. Don't lose your joy. Amen? Don't let the world intimidate your Christianity. Hey, be a soul winner. You know somebody that needs to be saved. Go talk to them. Go talk to them. Pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen? Just be prepared. Father, we pray now that you bless what we said tonight. Lord, I pray that all that we said pleased you. And I pray that the Spirit of God would help the invitation. Lord, I really don't know what to ask. I'm going to ask if anybody's saved. If there's anybody here that's not saved, today would be the day to get saved. Lord, I pray that we'd be prepared. Lord, I ask. I pray that you'd help us not to be afraid. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. You said many, many, many times. Lord, I pray that we turn it over to you and remember our Creator. Remember now our Creator. Help us, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed before I say amen. Anybody would say, Brother Ed, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I have everlasting life. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'm looking side to side, front to back. Anybody like that? I like that. Well, let me ask this question. Say, Brother Bragg, honestly, there's some things that I raised my hand at this, but you'd say, Brother Bragg, there's some things that really do concern me, and rightfully so. Say, but I want to turn them over to the Lord. I really just want to let God work and just trust Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. God bless you. Many hands, many hands. Let me ask a question, last question. I have somebody that I need to witness to. I really need to witness. I've been putting it off at the Lord's lady's name on my heart or her name on my heart. I need to witness to him. And by God's grace, I'm going to do it sooner than later. I'm going to do it. Would you pray that God would give me the courage and the words to say to that person, I want to witness to somebody God's laid on my heart. Brother Bragg, Brother Ed, that's me. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. You're not. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to pray and say amen. When I do, you stand, if you will, and Miss Naomi will start playing. You use the altars. God spoke to your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you bless those who raised their hands and said that there's some things that concern them to the point where they just need to turn them over to you, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lord, I thank you that you are in control. And Lord, I pray for those who raise their hand and said they have loved ones or people or someone that they need to witness to soon. Lord, help us, we pray, to be good soul winners and good witnesses. If the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the sinner? Where shall the sinner and the ungodly stand? I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless the invitation for thy sake. Amen. Would you stand, please, on the very first note of the invitation hymn? God dealt with your heart. You come. Use the altar. Do business with him.